Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Author to Author podcast. I am your host, Pamela R. Haynes, award-winning author of two books called Loving the Brothers and Loving the Sisters. I interview independently published and traditionally published authors from around the globe. The Author to Author podcast is available on 20 streaming platforms and 6 radio stations, namely East London Radio, Mixcloud, Pantango Radio, UK246.com, Chalk Hill Community Radio, LWR Talk Radio, and the Sounds of My Life radio station. The podcast is sponsored by Dalgetty Herbal Teas. Use the discount code A2AS6 for 10% off your next Dalgetty tea order. In this week's episode, I interviewed my first Canadian author, Heather Hancock, about her book, Sister Lost. Let's jump into her episode now. See you on the other side. Hello there, Heather. Thank you for joining me on the Author to Author podcast. How are you doing today?
I am well, thank you, and very honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, yes, we've been Clubhouse buddies for a little while, especially when yeah. you come on and you join Writer's Way. So when I heard that you had published a book, I was eager to get you on the podcast. Tell us where you are in the world right now. And in terms of your heritage, where are you from?
I am currently residing in a small town in southern Saskatchewan, Canada. My heritage, my mother was German Canadian heritage, and my dad was from Manchester and immigrated here in the 60s. So I have that background as well.
That's fantastic. Have you had a chance to explore where your parents come from? Have you been to Germany?
I have not been to Germany, but in 1997, I came over to the UK for a month.
Yeah. What brought you here?
I wanted to kind of get in touch with my dad's roots. My mom has a very large family. My dad did not. He had one sister. So my aunt was still alive at the time, and my cousin, her son, was able to pick me up at the airport. I was able to stay with them and connect that way, have a little visit, all of that sort of thing. He showed me around the areas that my dad would have played in as a child and things like that. So it was eye-opening, and it was connecting all at the same time.
And what do you remember about that trip? What stood out for you?
I spent time in Scotland too. So my mom had a pen pal up there. So we kind of half the time between the two countries. Most of my favorite parts were in castles. And my favorite part in Britain was going through Warwick Castle. My cousin took me there and we spent a whole entire day in that castle. And it was just like heavenly just to go through there the way they have it set up. It's wonderful.
Oh, that's great. Describe the town where you live now. You said it's a small town in Canada. What's it like living there?
Well, Saskatchewan is on the prairies of Canada. So it is for agricultural land. It's rolling prairies. Our town is called Rock Glen, and it is one of, I think, 3 places in the world that didn't have glaciers cover it during the last ice age. So the topography here is a little bit unique, and the town's logo is If These Hills Could Talk. There's a lot of fossil records here. There's a lot of that kind of thing going on, as well as, of course, Cree Nation and other Indigenous tribal peoples here.
So in relation to Toronto and a few other places, whereabouts are you?
We're in the middle of the whole country. Just think of it that way down. To give you some reference, the middle of the country, about 18 kilometers, which would be about 9 miles from the Montana border.
Right. Thanks for that. Describe for me what a perfect day is like living in your town.
A perfect day here would be clear blue skies and sunshine, no wind. There's lots of prairie wind. No wind, and go down to our park. We have a Rockland Beach is here. It's like a lake, but there's a beach on it, so people spend summer times there. Summers are short in Saskatchewan, so we take full advantage of them, because winters are long and cold and snow covered.
Whereabouts have you lived before?
I was born in Calgary, which is in the province of Alberta, which is next to us. And then my dad was moved, transferred for his work when I was 11 to Vancouver Island in British Columbia. And I spent 40 years of my life on that island. We actually left in 2019 and came to Saskatchewan then. But I have cousins in this province, so there is some family ties here.
Great. So what inspired you to write? When did that journey start?
When I was 8, when I was 6, they opened the library up to me and I thought I was in heaven. By the time I was 8, I was reading adult level books. I was reading books off my mother's bookshelf, so into science fiction, fantasy, that kind of thing. I remember at 8 trying to write a sci-fi novel. I had the first 5 chapters written in pencil on foolscap. Yeah, my mom threw them out. So she thought it was just kids scribbling. But yeah, that was my first attempt.
Right. And when did you pick up the pen again?
I worked in healthcare for 22 years, so that kept me rather busy and tired. I was forced to medically retire in 2012, and I started writing seriously in 2019, for Coffee House Writers, doing serial stories, poetry, that kind of stuff. And that's actually where this book began, was in a writing sprint there.
So you were writing and doing other smaller projects, but this is one heavy duty debut novel that you have written. Before we get to the book, you also have taken part in several anthologies as well. How did that
That's right.
happen? And if you can tell us a bit about those books.
Sure. I was with Coffee House Writers, which is an online magazine that I was a regular contributing author to for 4 years. And I was also an editor there for two and a half years, something like that. So how it happened is they decided to do an anthology in 2020. So we submitted whatever style of writing we wished. There was no limit. You could only have 2 submissions per genre, though. So for poetry, I submitted, th or sorry, it was more than 2. I think it was 3, because I submitted 3 poems and I submitted one nonfiction story and 2 fiction stories. And one of the fiction stories, there's a tie back to the book, which I can explain later. So those were published in 2020. And it was a way for the magazine to gain exposure, but it was also a way for us as authors to gain exposure as well. And then in 2021, 2022, I met Dr. Monique Rogers, and she was doing an anthology called Call to Intercede, being a Christian and being a prophetic intercessor. She asked me if I would submit a chapter for volume 1, which I did. And then by the time volume 7 came along, which I also submitted to, I was also editing for her. So I edited that book as well. So that's how those came about.
And now you have the brand new book. Thank you for gifting us a copy of that,
You're
called
welcome.
Sister Lost, and which was published in 2023. Brand new. So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
getting your book out there. What inspired you to commit to a full-blown novel at this time?
It's something that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to write a book. I just wasn't sure what genre it would be. Being a multi-genre author, I have a love for a few different a few different genres, and I wasn't quite sure what God wanted me to do first. As I mentioned before, Claire showed up on my screen during a writing sprint for Coffee House Writers. That's how we generated ideas on a weekly basis for our articles. So for the anthology, I wrote a short story based on her relationship with her mother. And I thought I was done with that character, but that character wouldn't leave me alone. So I started to pray about it. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with Claire and Claire's story? And so then he gave me sort of the outline for the book. And then when we got to a certain part of it, I was able to tie in the historical treatment of the disabled here in Canada, which is also something that I wanted to address. So I thought I'd be doing that in nonfiction, but God had other plans. So it worked out rather well, I think, in the long term.
I love that. I love it when you say that the character wasn't done with you. And I'm pleased to hear that I'm not the only one where they present their story to you. When I was writing my first book, I thought I was done, but the character said, no, I've got a lot more to say. And I had to add another 8,000 words to the book. So I can certainly relate to that. How important has your faith been in terms of you creating this new piece of work? How important was your faith to you?
It was a cornerstone to writing the book. When I write fiction, when I write it all, I partner with God on it. It's just something that we do together because I want everything that I do to glorify Him and to touch people, regardless of what the genre is that I'm writing.
How has your book been received?
It's been received rather well. There's some good reviews on site. Not high on the book sales yet, but this is a marathon, not a sprint. And I had to move right after it was launched, so I didn't really get to launch it the way I wanted to. So once the ebook is out, I'm going to do that properly.
It's a beautiful cover. How did you reach this particular design, and who did that for you?
You might notice behind me is a full-size canvas that an artist friend of mine who lives in Maple Creek, his name is Jeff Phillips. He's a well-known artist here in Saskatchewan. He volunteered to paint the front cover for me, and then we just created a JPEG file from it. And so we were able to have that as the front cover, which I was very honored he would do that for me. And then he gifted me the canvas.
That's
So.
fantastic, and that's beautiful that he did that as well. The color is quite lush. I take it that that is Claire on the cover. Would I be
That
correct?
is Claire on the cover. That's correct. Yeah.
So tell us, without giving the whole plot away, what is Sister Loss about?
Sister Lost is about my main character, Claire. She's been a loner her lo whole life by choice. There's a bequest that comes in her grandmother's will, which is a surprise. And unfortunately, it reveals a lot of family secrets and a lot of lies, which are the catalyst for the roller coaster journey she ends up going on, and one that I like the readers to go on with her. Which is why I don't like too many spoilers. But yeah, that's basically what it is. Everything that she knew up until she reads that letter from her grandmother, after that, she reads that letter, she understands that most of what she was told was a lie.
Tell me, how many words was it, and how long did it take you to write?
It came out to 93,300 and some odd words at the end. It took me 4 years to write simply because I had a number of hospitalizations that were lengthy, so it would put a pause on it. And I edited everything except for the proofreading part. I did all the other forms before that. So that was a lot of work.
But tell
That's
me,
right.
how do you stay motivated for 4 years?
Because you have a vision, right? You have a vision of getting this book out. You're praying about it and praying through the whole process as well. There was an urgency towards the end to get it out. I don't know why, but there was a push to, God was saying it needs to get out now. Just keep going, keep going. And so, yeah, I got it out March 1st, which ironically was, no, it was the US National CP month, I think. Cerebral palsy is, there's 18 million people around the globe, but it's probably the most funded and unknown disorder in the world compared to most. So it was a way for me to educate as well as tell a really good story. So
Right. You have cerebral palsy. Does your main character have it as well?
I have cerebral palsy. My main character does not have it. A secondary character has it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was a way of educating people about it as well. So
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Do you have the book to hand with you, and are you able to whet our appetite for the book by
Yes,
reading a few
of
paragraphs?
course. Just give me a second. Austin MacIsaac paused, looked up, and then slowly passed a sealed envelope across the table, along with title documents and bank documents. Claire looked over everything and realized that her grandmother's estate was worth over $2 million, with the sale of her home and the balances in her bank accounts. It was overwhelming. The total value of my grandmother's estate is a surprise. You need to open the envelope, Miss Langstrom. Claire reached for the sealed envelope, which had yellowed and looked quite old. She opened it carefully and withdrew a folded letter. As she opened the letter, a picture fell out onto the table. She glanced down at the old Polaroid with its yellowed edges and stared into a pair of eyes that she knew. Those were her eyes, but she had never seen this picture before. Her mother took only one photo of her as a baby, so why did her grandmother have a different one?
I think you're right to leave it there, Heather. Beautifully read, and very intriguing. And I take it that that's the very letter and the photo that's from the chapter, from the bit that you've just read. So
That's
yes,
right.
I'm very intrigued. I'm looking forward to reading it. But tell
The
us, what are the takeaways do you want readers to go away with after reading your book?
It's a story of faith. It's a story of redemption, and restoration. So I want readers, I mean, my prayer with God is that each reader that reads the book, God meets whatever need they have at the time that they're reading the book. So he can use it in a myriad of different ways. But my hope and my wish is that at the end of reading the book, they understand that there is hope and reconciliation possible for difficult family situations. There's hope and reconciliation possible between estranged relatives, shall we put it that way? And there's hope always, regardless of the challenges that you face in life. You can overcome anything. Where there's a will, there's a way. So, and especially with God, because He makes the way. So, that's my hope. And it might appeal to non-Christians as well. So there's also a prayerful hope that others will find Christ, even in the pages of the story. But that's up to God and the Holy Spirit and that each reader. So,
So,
yeah.
Heather, thanks for that answer. I like the idea that it's a hopeful book, by the end of it. But tell us, what was the publishing process like? Are you self-published?
I am self-published, yes. It was a little more painful than I was expecting, to be totally honest. I did the book cover myself, except the people that did the layout for me changed the font on the front. That was the only change that they made. They were rather blown away with the cover, so I was quite chuffed with that, I have to say. That was the easy part. The layout part was driving me absolutely up the wall. So I had a friend who said, well, we do that as part of one of our businesses, so why don't we just give you a hand, which they did. And then they uploaded it into Amazon for me, so I didn't have to work with that. But I am currently right now reformatting for the ebook. God wanted the paperback out first, so I did it his way, not the way that everybody else was telling me to do it. So it may seem backwards, but I'm taking my orders from someone else.
No problem with that at all. But one thing that I like from browsing through it is the font of the book. Was that a deliberate thing to do, the way that you've laid it down? It's very easy on the eye.
Yeah, that was the size of the book is 7 by 10, which is not a normal novel size. But it was so that you didn't end up with 700 pages and so that the font could be an easy read font. I'm middle-aged, I'm mid-50s. I don't want to have to get a higher reading glasses to be able to read the print. So I went for a comfort size font and one that was easy on the eyes. That was deliberate.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought so when I looked through it that this is someone who is wanting to reach a particular audience. Being able to concentrate on the length of the book is easy to get through when the font size is right. Also, so yeah, I'm really pleased with that.
It turned out the way I wanted it to.
So what happens next? Now you've got the book out there. In terms of marketing it, I think that's something that self-published authors are also responsible for. What kind of activities have you been up
Unfortunately,
to promote your book?
I have done mostly social media. I've done some podcasts. This is, I think, my fourth podcast, but by far the most professional one. And the one with the widest listening audience, I guess. Or do they watch? I don't know. The biggest audience. So I'm, again, very privileged to be here. Yes, marketing is indeed something that I am responsible for, and it's something that I've never done. So this is an adventure and a bit of a frustrating one at that. Like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So I'm learning as I go, and I've made a few mistakes, but I won't make them again. So, what's after this? Well, once I get the ebook out, then I'm going to work on a book of poetry simply because the poems are done. I just need to organize them and God wants me to tell a story with them. So that's the challenging part is how do I put this into an order that tells a story, Lord? And then after that, I don't know. I have another serial story that I want to sort of lengthen a little bit into a novel. But I've had a number of people say to me that they're not satisfied with where Sister Lost ends off and they want a sequel. So after a little bit of a break, I may go back into Claire's world and I don't know, I may change the character's point of view and tell it from a secondary character's viewpoint next time. We'll see. We'll see which way it goes.
Yes, there's a couple of authors who I follow who have done something similar. So it's written from the first protagonist's point of view. And then the second time they've retold the same story, but from another character's point of view. And they now have a third book, which I haven't read yet, which is told from a third character's point of view, but the same story. So, very talented to be able to take on a project like that, Heather. And I wish you all the best with it. But what's the poetry book going to be called?
I don't know. I really am still just praying about it. It needs poetry titles are tricky and they need to grab people's attention with intrigue. So God and I are still batting that one about a bit. But when I know, I will let you know.
And that's fine that things are still open. The most important thing, some authors start with the title and then the poetry, or some start with the poetry and then a title finds them at some stage. And both are okay. And that's fine as well because that's all part of the creative process. Do you think you will go back to the same illustrator so that the books have a familiar look to them?
I don't know. I mean, for the sequel, I would go back to Jeff to do the cover for the sequel. For the poetry books, I may not. I may want them to look a little bit different, simply because it's a different genre. And Jeff's really busy right now. So I also have to be mindful and respectful of his time and the projects he's commissioned to do right now as well.
Yes, I understand that, but good illustrators are hard to find.
They
So
are.
I made sure that for all three books that I had the same person, but mine's a trilogy, so that made sense to have the same person involved in that. How has your husband felt about the work that you're doing?
Oh, he's very supportive of me. He's very supportive of my writing. He's promoting the book on his sites as much as he can. Yeah, no, he's fully on board and was very patient through the ups and downs of the writing process, which can take a lot of time.
I mean, writing is a very solitary occupation. So, how do you stay connected with other authors and other creatives?
I have my own Christian or Canadian Christian writers group. We have online Zoom meetings once a month. So we hold each other accountable. We encourage each other. We celebrate victories and publications. We support launches. We do all of that. And then I have my following on Clubhouse, which is just a little bit different, audio-wise, but that's where I mostly do my poetry. A little bit of sharing of my writing, but in writer's way, I can do either or, and have done, but I prefer the poetry. So, though I did do an author slam in one of the other clubhouse rooms, that was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's now become for me, it's writer's way has become crucial in my development because they give you the opportunity to practice your latest working process. And the feedback is instant, isn't it? So it's
It
in
is
real
interesting, yeah.
time. You get all of that feedback from the members, and they are highly encouraging of what you're
Yep.
doing, which is
Yeah.
absolutely fantastic. How long have you been a member of Writers' Way?
Lord, just after I logged on to Clubhouse, I think I'm about a year and a half into Clubhouse, I think. So about that long. It was the first group that I joined. I haven't been able to participate lately, with the move and some things going on in the house here, but I will get back tomorrow. I will be on. So yeah, I'm going to try and attend more regularly now that we have a few things sorted.
That's fantastic. Heather, if people wanted to get hold of your book, how would they do that?
It's on Amazon on all the sites possible. So Google Sister Lost by Heather Hancock. There are a few books with similar titles. So if you don't put my name in it, you won't find it. But if you put everything in, it'll pop right up for you. And you can also go to my website. There's a link for it on there as well too. And that's heather-hancock.com.
Heather, you said earlier that you're on social media. What are your social media handles?
Twitter, I'm Heather H and then underscore author. On my Facebook author site, I'm just Heather Hancock dash author. And then Instagram, I'm Heather period Hancock period CA. And LinkedIn, I think I went with the same kind of thing, Heather H dash or underscore author. Can't remember which one. It's one of those two. Try to be consistent a little bit anyway. So those are my social media links.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing those, because I have no doubt that people may want to reach out to you with some of the themes arising from your book, which is absolutely fantastic. Could you do us the honor of ending this podcast interview with one of your poems, please?
This is my most recent one, I think. All right, so this is The Light in Your Eyes. Exquisite kaleidoscopic patterns spin and swirl across infinite pools, eternity refracted within, pure light and love dance together as ancient wisdom's notes ring the cosmos and celestial bodies echo back. Synchronous worship, the universe vibrating in tune with its creator, declaring his name in every shooting star, supernova exploding, epic waves of color enhancing the light in your eyes. Alpha and Omega, Logos and Rhema, bright morning star, ancient of days, your names speak mysteries, evoking a wonder. For in you all things are held together. My eyes mirror the same light in your eyes. Jesus poem.
Well, that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Heather. And
You're
thank
welcome.
you once again for taking part in the Author to Author podcast.
It's my privilege and honor to be here, Pam. Thank you so much.
It is competition time now, and the question is, according to Heather, how many people are estimated to have cerebral palsy around the world? Contact me on Instagram at lovingtheauthor with the correct answer by this Friday for your chance to win a copy of her book, Sister Lost. Good luck, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.